The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Two astronauts were supposed to spend just 8 days in space, but now they might be there until 2025. It isn't the plot of a sci-fi movie, it's reality for Sunita Williams and Commander Barry Wilmore as they navigate life aboard the International Space Station. With technical issues prolonging their mission, questions arise about how they will survive and stay mentally strong for such an extended stay. Now, to talk to us about this dilemma they have, we're joined by Leo Enright, space commentator. Good morning, Leo.
Good morning, Pat. Lovely to see you.
What went wrong?
Oh, lordy, lordy, lordy. You and I are old enough to remember the days when we used to say, if it's not Boeing, I'm not going.
Yeah.
And it's gone the other way around now.
It was Boeing.
Everything Boeing touches seems to turn to you-know-what. I mean, even yesterday, they've had to abandon the testing of their 777, the latest version, because bits of the engine were threatening to fall off. So this is all of a piece, problems with Boeing and with stuff that their contractors are building that don't quite work the way they expected
now,
them to.
We are not familiar with the idea of Boeing going to the International Space Station. So this was innovative on their part. What was different about the craft that they were sending up compared to anything the Americans had sent up prior to that, or indeed the Russians?
Well, Pat, this is all very interesting. It was an American experiment, which, you know, people are suddenly beginning to question, which was that they wanted two private contractors, to build spaceships. One of them was Elon Musk's SpaceX, and the other that got a contract was Boeing. But these contracts are different from the old days. When Boeing built the space station, and they did, they were paid a price plus whatever their profit was. On this Starliner, this capsule that they're using to bring the astronauts up, they own the capsule. So they pay for everything and NASA just pays them like you would.
Per trip.
Per trip, like an Uber.
So they would make any profit that was to be made, or they would take all the losses that might accrue. Now, what went wrong? Because I remember there was some delay about docking.
Yes, that was where things really went awry. They've been having problems with this for several years, not uncommon in the space business. But when the astronauts arrived close to the space station, Butch Wilmore, the commander, took control of the Starliner as was generally intended, and he was using the 28 control thrusters to, you know, go left a bit, right a yeah. bit, up a bit, down a bit. And it turns out that whatever way Butch Wilmore was using the controllers, he overheated five of these thrusters, which stopped working. Now,
suddenly you've no control.
Exactly. That is precisely the problem, Pat. They managed.
Anyone who's tried to control a drone, for example,
nail on the head.
So he did manage to dock in the end.
In the end, he switched off the faulty thrusters. He managed to dock. But then, of course, people down, managers down in NASA began saying, what happens if this thing doesn't work when he's leaving? I mean, he could crash into the space station and it would be far worse. Or an even worse situation, in a certain group of possible failures, he could end up in a situation where himself and Sonny Williams would be trapped in a low Earth orbit, unable to get down and unable to get up. And that, of course, would be the ultimate disaster. They'd lose the crew, they'd lose the spaceship, and NASA and Boeing would be really in
so,
the doghouse.
So they decided the best thing to stay put until we sort out this problem. But in terms of provisions, supplies, and even the psychology, you're going for an eight-day mission, and suddenly you're told you could be here a year.
Yeah, Pat, NASA are very, very unhappy with us using this word stranded in space.
But now, they are.
Well, if you or I were stuck at an airport, you know, for a few hours and it turned into 8 months, we would definitely say we were stranded. Yeah. NASA are very sniffy about us using that word, though.
Question, is there more than one docking port? I mean, they've obviously docked with this Starliner in one port. Is there a second one on the space station somewhere?
I'm really sorry you asked me that, Pat, because this is yet another problem. There is another docking port, but they need two free docking ports for safety reasons. And at the moment, you have a clucking hen, the Starliner, stuck to one of the docking ports. And at the moment, nobody is 100% sure that even if they decide to dispose of it and keep the crew on board the space station, that they'll actually be able to free up the docking port. And that's the nightmare scenario, because then they would only have one door into the space station and the same door out. That is not safe.
Okay, but could they in the meantime send something up that would dock, take the two off, and then, you know, they get back to Earth safely and freeze up the second docking port while the other one, they work out what to do with it.
Yeah, but the problem is, Pat, there's a lot of people living on that space station. It's not just the two of them. And they all need a spaceship to have on the station in case something goes wrong, so that it's a lifeboat. So, I mean, Pat, we're basically, you know that old question, you know, you have a fox, chickens and a
getting
bag of corn.
The river,
and you got to get across the river, but the fox will eat the chickens and the chickens will eat the corn. How do you do it? Well, this is precisely where NASA is, and they have to decide by, I believe it's Monday of next week is the absolute drop-dead deadline when they have to decide whether they're going to put the astronauts, risk the astronauts going back on the Boeing spaceship, or whether they're going to tell the astronauts, look, wait, we'll send up an Elon Musk SpaceX capsule for you and hope, fingers and toes crossed, that they can undock the Starliner from that port, that docking port, and send it back uncrewed.
I mean, this may seem like a crazy idea, but could they bring up one of Elon Musk's SpaceX capsules with space maybe for the two plus whatever other pilot they might feel they need on board? And then the two are asked to go out and have a spacewalk. And, you know, while the SpaceX capsule is in parallel, you know, just parked literally in space beside it, and walk over on your spacewalk and hop into the Elon Musk thing and go down.
Well, there have, I mean, a number of things have been suggested, but in reality, it's much safer if they they decide that the Boeing vehicle isn't safe. The safest by far way of approaching this is for them to stay in orbit. And let's be fair, yes, they are stranded. I think, you know, as journalists, we have to call a spade a spade. But if you think about it, it's a bit like your boss telling you, you know, you're on a 10-day business trip to Paris, and your boss rings up and she says, look, Pat, would you mind staying for 8 months? For them, it's a bit like that, because honestly, they've lived on the space station before. They love it. And, you know, all the astronauts dream of.
Plenty of grub and all that. There's no problem.
Thank heavens they've got the Russians brought up extra cargo, because they were running out of underwear. But I'm glad to report, Pat, that the underwear crisis, which was looming, I can tell you, the underwear crisis has been resolved.
So this demonstrates that in spite of all the technology and the Chinese and the Indians being able to send satellites and land on the moon and do all of that, it's still a very hazardous activity.
I'm very glad you asked me that question, because that's exactly the point. That's the takeaway from this. All this talk and palaver about people going into space and isn't it great, and of course everybody can do it, is absolute nonsense. More than 60 years after Yuri Gagarin was the first person in space, it's still an incredibly dangerous business. It is not the stuff of joyriding. And yes, people do it. And in fact, there's a commercial crew leaving on one of Musk's capsules next Monday of next week. And they're going to actually do the first commercial spacewalk, get out of one of Musk's capsules, float around, as you were describing a moment ago, and they're paying for their trip. But that sort of space tourism is always only going to be for people like who want to climb Everest as well.
A final question. You know the way we use it, the three-pin plug like they use in the UK, but they don't use it in Spain or Portugal or France or whatever. The charger for your phone, your iPhone charger, not yet matches your Android charger, although it will, I think, from next year on, there will be uniformity. I mean, are the Russians, the Chinese, the Indians, and anyone else who's interested in going to space, do they use kind of standard interoperability connections?
I was afraid you were going to ask me that, Pat. The reality is that the Americans don't use standard interoperable. So that's one of the problems at the moment, is that Sonny Williams and Butch Wilmore have a spacesuit that doesn't plug into the SpaceX, the Elon Musk spaceship. So one of the constraints is that they can't come back on a SpaceX mission until they get a spacesuit up to them from Earth that will work.
And never mind Soyuz and the Russians, who knows. Anyway, Leo, fascinating stuff, and we think of those two marooned in space for the moment at any rate. Leo Enright, space commentator, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.